Micro Europa.
Sounds.
Modern.
Fiche.
Terrific.
Micro Europa.
Sounds.
Comme moi.
Comme eu.
Like me.
Micro Europa.
Bringing young Europe together.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Ausgabe von Radio Micro Europa hier auf der Wüstenwelle. Mein Name ist Pradnya Bivalkar. Heute sind wir auf Sendung mit einem Live-Talk. Ich begrüße heute ganz herzlich drei indische Journalisten, Arfa Khanum, Sam Abraham und Nimish Sawant. Hallo.
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 Arfa ist Fernsehmoderatorin für den öffentlich-rechtlichen Sender in Indien, Rajya Sabha TV, und kommt aus Neu-Delhi. Sam ist Sportjournalist bei der Zeitung Economic Times und kommt aus Bangalore. Nimish ist Technologiejournalist bei dem Online-Plattform firstpost.com und kommt aus Mumbai. Sie sind gerade hier in Deutschland mit 5 weiteren indischen Journalisten als Teil des Austauschprogramms Medienbotschafter Indien-Deutschland. Das Programm läuft in Kooperation zwischen der Robert-Bosch-Stiftung und der Universität Tübingen. Unsere Studiogäste sprechen nur wenig Deutsch und ich würde deswegen gerne gleich ins Englische umsteigen. Zunächst aber, entsprechend zu heutigem regnerischen Wetter hier in Tübingen, ein Sauwetterlied.
Ich stehe am Fenster und sehe, wie der Regen fällt. Da gibt es kein Zurück, da gibt es nichts, was mich hält. Wenn man keine Hundeseele vor die Türe jagt, das ist genau die Art von Wetter, die mir zusagt. Wenn es Blasen regnet, wenn man in die Pfütze tappt, wenn es in den Schuhen quietscht und der Schirm überklappt, wenn der Bus mich im Vorbeifahren mit einer Fontäne überzieht, dann summ ich still vergnügt ein Sauwetterlied. Das ist ein schlichtes und ergreifendes Sauwetterlied über den Tiefdruckwirbel Helga, der vorüberzieht. Ein Lied, das nichts bewirkt und keinen Anspruch stellt, das sich nur daran freut, dass der Regen fällt. Die ganze Botschaft ist, ich mag's, wenn's nieselt, wenn es tropft und wenn es schüttet, wenn es schifft und pieselt, wenn es trommelt oder prasselt und es ist mir ein Fest, wenn es plattert, wie wenn eine Kuh das Wasser lässt. Alle maulen, alle meckern übers Wetter, ich nicht, wenn das Wetter nicht so wird wie im Wetterbericht. Ob du meckerst oder jubelst, deprimiert bist oder froh, ist völlig wurscht, denn das Wetter kommt sowieso. Und dann sehe ich es lieber schon als Optimist und ich freue mich, dass überhaupt noch Wetter ist. Um die Sonne zu mögen, gehört nicht viel, aber das Sauwetter zu lieben, werde ich das halt still. Das ist ein schlichtes und ergreifendes Sauwetterlied über den Tiefdruckwirbel Helga, der vorüberzieht. Ein Lied, das nichts bewirkt und keinen Anspruch stellt, das sich nur daran freut, dass der Regen fällt. Die ganze Botschaft ist, ich mag's, wenn's nieselt, wenn es tropft und wenn es schüttet, wenn es schifft und pieselt, wenn es trommelt oder prasselt und es ist mir ein Fest, wenn es plattert, wie wenn eine Kuh das Wasser lässt. Wenn mein Körper an der Nordseite schon Moos ansetzt, fühl ich, wie mich plötzlich etwas nach Mallorca hetzt. Da lieg ich dann wie 1000 links und rechts von mir auch und versenk mir Nase, Hintern, Haxen und den Bauch. Dann seh ich dunkle schwarze Wolken und den Heimflug herbei, große grüne nasse Wiesen und ich atme frei. Endlich setzt der Flieger auf, die Erwartung ist groß. Erst geht die Flugzeugtür auf und dann der Wolkenbruch los. Und ich summe mein ergreifendes Sauwetterlied über den Tiefdruckwirbel Helga, der vorüberzieht. Ein Lied, das nichts bewirkt und keinen Anspruch stellt, das sich nur daran freut, dass der Regen fällt. Die ganze Botschaft ist, ich mag's, wenn's nieselt, wenn es tropft und wenn es schüttet, wenn es schifft und pieselt, wenn es trommelt oder prasselt und es ist mir ein Fest, wenn es plattert, wie wenn eine Kuh das Wasser lässt, wenn es trommelt oder prasselt und es ist mir ein Fest, wenn es plattert, wie wenn eine Kuh das Wasser lässt.
Willkommen zurück bei Radio Micro Europa hier auf der Wüstenwelle. Mein Name ist Pradnya Bivalkar und wir sind heute auf Sendung mit einem Live-Talk mit indischen Journalisten Nimish, Sam und Arfa. Unsere indischen Gäste können kein Deutsch und deshalb werden wir uns auf Englisch unterhalten. Hello to you all and welcome on the show.
Hello.
Hello.
You have been in Germany for around 3 weeks now. Could you tell us very briefly about your impressions so far? Anything that has left a profound impression on you?
Hello, I'm Nimish. Thank you for having me on the show. I think the first thing that struck me when I landed in Germany was the greenery all around me, the cleanliness, and of course the orderliness and everything. You know, because in India, everything is, I mean, there is a certain madness to a lot of things. So this was something which was very different. Also, another thing that I noticed was the architecture around Tübingen and even in other parts of Germany was beautiful, you know, and it seems like they've taken special care to conserve the old buildings and restore a lot of, you know, buildings that may have been destroyed during the war. So that's something which was quite impressive. The people here have been very warm, very friendly. Whoever we have interacted with so far has been really helpful to us. Sometimes you need to know a little bit of German to get around, but I don't think there's an issue with even if you just know English. Another interesting thing that I noticed, especially in Tübingen, was the number of bookshops around here. Because in a world where, you know, bookshops are and physical books are decreasing by the years, it's heartening to see so many thriving bookstores and thriving magazines and newspapers in Germany. Yeah.
And what about you, Sam?
I think the most important thing that I've seen here is the responsibility the community takes in running the country. Yesterday we went to Freiburg, where the people took charge of what they wanted to do. They built more eco-friendly houses. They decided to have more parks. It's incredible for an Indian to see this, because back home we do not get such a lot of participation. We do not take so much effort to participate in the way community is run. So that struck me. Really well. Apart from that, I wish summer had come a little earlier. The weather is very different, and the fact that this technology, the way technology is used to make you comfortable, that is again something that struck me very well.
Can you be more specific when you talk about technology?
This might be very easy for, and this might be something that Germans are very used to, but central heating is not something Indians are not used to. I mean, you feel warm inside a house.
Bisher haben die indischen Kollegen gesagt, dass sie von der Ordnung, Sauberkeit, Architektur, sehr aufgeschlossenen und offenen Menschen hier in Deutschland, aber auch dann von der verantwortungsbewussten Gesellschaft sehr stark begeistert sind. Und jetzt kommen wir nun zu Alpha. Alpha, what has been your impression so far?
Hello, it's fantastic to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me here. I think the first thing that struck me was, besides the charm that Tübingen has, it is a very fairy tale kind of a town. It's almost unbelievable at times, especially at some time of the day when the light is falling over the trees and the river. It is just unbelievably beautiful. So it's very heartwarming when you enter the city. Besides that, I think the order of the city is very unreal. It's a very modern state in two terms, that it's based on the modern I would say technology and everything that is 21st century, but at the same time has very old world values of talking to people, the way people are so polite, and it's very heartwarming, I would say. Another thing I would say is the public transport, which is very efficient, entirely punctual. Initially, in the beginning, for the first 2-3 days, it was very difficult for me, especially, to inculcate that habit of, say, somebody says 8 o'clock, it has to be 8. It doesn't have to be 7:59 or 8:01. It has to be 8. So I think it's very difficult. At times, it's a German fixation, I would say. So it's very different from Indian stretchable time, mm-hmm. which would be, if you say 8 o'clock, it might be 8:05 or 8:07. So I think when I go back to India, after spending 3 months here, it's going to be difficult for me to adjust to the Indian stretchable time after having lived in Germany.
So I gather you'll go back as a changed person.
I hope so.
Yeah. Das wieder kurz zusammenzufassen, ist die Alpha sehr stark von der Höflichkeit, von den öffentlichen Verkehrsmitteln und von der Pünktlichkeit der Deutschen sehr stark begeistert. Also das sind so Sachen, auf die man normalerweise nicht so kommt, wenn man über Deutschen redet, also so aus deutscher Sicht. Und insofern finde ich das total witzig, dass die indischen Kollegen das irgendwie so sehen. And coming back, so you have spoken so far about cleanliness, architecture, postcard perfect landscapes in Germany so far. But besides that, you've also had a chance to discuss or interact with a lot of people from different spheres of life. So can you tell us something about that? Not only in terms of the program, but also in terms of your general interactions with people.
Yeah, I would say people are very direct in their conversation. Initially, it took me some time to realize, suppose if I'd say, could you please do that for me? In India, it would be taken as, please do that for me. But in Germany, if you say that, they will ask, I could, but should I? So it was very different the way people perceive here. So at times, it's not rude, it is very direct. People are very firm in the way they want to say things. So at times, it might, from an Indian set of mind, if I'm coming from, it might sound a little too direct, but I think they're very firm in the way they deal with it. So I think this was something very noticeable.
And what about you, Sam?
I like how they stick to something. They have rules and they really want to stick to it. They have a constitution that says we welcome people and they stick to it very hard and fast. They go to political discussions based on that. That's almost unheard for me.
And what about you, Nimesh?
I would agree with Sam on a lot of points. Also, I happen to know a local Tubingen resident who invited me once for dinner, and there I met a lot of locals, and I was quite impressed with the way they were so curious about India and the political situation in India especially, which was, you know, I mean, when you meet outsiders in India, you generally don't discuss politics, so, you know, yeah, so that was something which was quite interesting.
Das für unsere Zuhörer wieder kurz zusammenzufassen, sind die indischen Kollegen von den klaren Ansagen von den deutschen Kollegen sehr begeistert, aber auch von, ich glaube, so Integrität als Mensch, dass man auch zu gewissen Moralen und gewissen Vorstellungen einfach dazusteht und dann gibt es gar nichts, was dazwischen kommen kann, aber auch dann auf Neugier. Also die sind dann auch von sowas sehr stark begeistert. Und jetzt kommen wir wieder ein bisschen zur Musik. Unsere indischen Kollegen haben uns heute auch etwas Musik mitgebracht. Das Folgenderlied ist eine Fusion aus einem englischen Lied von Christina Perry und einem alten klassischen Bollywood-Lied, gesungen von Lata Mangeshkar.
Oh, shine, hey. every day waiting for you. Darling, don't be afraid. I have loved you for a thousand years. I love you for a thousand be strong. I will not let anything take away what's standing in front of me. Every breath, every hour has gone to this. One step closer. आएंगे हम नहीं आएंगे बार बार बाहें गले में डाल के हम रोल जार आँखों से फिर ये प्यार की बरसात हो ना हो हो ना हो. I have died every day waiting for you. Darling, don't be afraid.
Nach diesem wunderbaren Fusion-Lied sind wir wieder da bei Radio Mikro Europa hier auf der Wüstenwelle. Wir haben heute Gäste aus Indien im Studio und wir steigen jetzt gleich aufs Englische um. So, welcome back to all of you. Continuing our discussion earlier, you are fellows here as part of the Media Ambassadors Program or the Medienbotschafter Program. So, could you tell our listeners about your experience so far as a fellow of the program? Can you start, Arfa?
Okay. Yeah, I think the structure of the program, I must say, that is a very well thought out thing that I first noticed, because I've been to other fellowships and I've observed it. But the way this program is structured is something very, very unusual. And I think this makes it very unique in its own sense, that first you have lectures, which are, I must say, that very candid. There's just no pretense. You can actually absolutely ask almost everything to your speakers. This was a change from other countries, I must say. And it has been very, very enriching. And the way they prepare their lectures, especially the PowerPoint presentation, it is so well structured that I am feeling already that I'm richer than how I had entered Germany. So this is something very nice.
So this element of being organized.
Yes.
You see it everywhere.
Very much. Order
the
again.
The German orderliness.
That unreal order. Then the second part, I think, is again very unusual and very interesting, is the job shadowing part. That we actually get to work in the real newsrooms with the real reporters on real issues. And that's too much for a foreign national to be allowed. Suppose I have picked up an issue which is very sensitive. This is the rise of right wing in Germany. I think it's amazing the way German people and Bosch Foundation has allowed a foreign national to come to Germany and touch something as sensitive as this.
And where will you be working?
I will be working with Deutsche Welle TV.
Okay. And what about you, Sam? How has your experience been so far?
No, I mean, okay, this is the first time I've left India to work anywhere. So a lot to take in, but very impressed by how thorough they are. All the experts who've come to talk to us, they're very thorough. They give you a good sense of what they're talking about. That's impressive. Also, I'm a football correspondent in India. So there's very little football to cover in India, but it's a game that I love. And here in Germany, the home of the world champions, this is a dream for a lot of sports journalists. So I'll be working with SWR in Stuttgart, and I hope I get to maybe go to a match or meet a bunch of players, you know, talk about the youth system that has made German football what it is, and scouting and things that are so important for sport and which is lacking in India, and which if Indian journalists knew about, they could write about and maybe could make changes in India. So I think this is an incredibly good program for things
but,
like that.
Would you say that the series of lectures that you've had so far were also enriching for you, especially because not many of them touched upon sport journalism as a topic? They were diverse topics, what I know.
Yeah, because these are things that maybe I would not have thought about otherwise. And as an outsider looking into the European Union, you read about these things from websites and newspapers that give you it's a macro picture that they give you, but here you are and they're giving you the tiny details that make so much difference to the way you perceive an issue. So lectures for any journalist is important, and I think it's incredible that we got such experts to talk about it.
So would you say that it has contributed to your understanding of Europe?
Absolutely, absolutely.
You see it in a different light
now?
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. The tiny details make so much of a difference when you listening to a debate in a foreign television channel. That things that we miss, now I know.
Okay. And how about you, Nimish? How has the experience been so far?
So this is the first time this is the first time coming out to work. So when I applied for the program and when I came to know that I've been selected, it was very exciting because, you know, I would get to work in an international newsroom. That was something I was really looking forward to. But before we start our job shadowing, you know, we had this series of lectures, which has been absolutely enriching, very insightful. Now I back home I'm a technology journalist, so I am pretty much covering that field, but the topics that we discussed over here were so diverse, you know, things from gender equality to rise of right-wing politics and all of that. Of course, I've read about all these issues back in India, but to actually talk to an expert, have a discussion one-on-one, and you know, try to draw parallels in the Indian context, that was very interesting. Also, the way the lectures have been structured has been very interesting. Like, it gives you a brief overview, but then you can also deep dive into topics, and the lecturers, the specialists have been really helpful, and you know, they've shared their contact details with us so we can get in touch if we want to really go deeper. So that has been something that's really interesting. I'll be working with the integrated newsroom at the Welt in Berlin, which I'm really looking forward to. It's just been a very, very enriching program, I would say.
Um das kurz für unsere Zuhörer zusammenzufassen, die Stipendiaten, die hier gerade als Teil des Programms da sind, durften an einem vierwöchigen Fortbildung teilnehmen, und im Rahmen von dieser Fortbildung fanden mehrere Vorträge statt, und wir haben gerade mit den indischen Stipendiaten kurz drüber geredet, und sie alle sind sich einig, dass diese Vorträge und diese Referate dazu beigetragen haben, dass sie jetzt Europa oder auch die EU jetzt besser verstehen oder auch die Politik, die hier vorangetrieben wird, besser verstehen können, auch in der Zukunft. Und jetzt geht's nochmal zur Musik. Das Vollgender-Lied ist einer meiner personal favorites und wurde von dem weltberühmten indischen Schauspieler Amitabh Bachchan zusammen mit Farhan Akhtar gesungen.
Yaare, teri yaare, chal mana is baare, saare meri fikre tere aage aake haare. Yaare, teri yaare, chal mana is baare, saare meri fikre tere aage aake haare. खूब लगी मुझको तेरी बीमारी, इस बेढंगी दुनिया के संगी हम न होते यारा, अपनी तो यारी अतरंगी है रे, कर बेरंगी शामें हुड़दंगी मस्त नलंगी यारा,
अपनी तो यारी अतरंगी है रे अतरंगी रे ओ, ओ, ये, ये, ये। हो बिन कहे ठहरा तू हर मोड़ पर हो यारा मेरे लिए भूला तू खुद की डगर हो यारा मेरे लिए हर कदम संचली तेरी यारी इस बेढंगी दुनिया के संगी हम न होते यारा अपनी तो यारी अतरंगी है रे घर बेरंगी शामे उड़दंगी मस्त मनंगी यारा अपनी तो यारी अतरंगी है रे अतरंगी तेरी यारी चल माना इस बारी सारी मेरी फिक्रें तेरे आगे आके हारी बहन लगी मुझको तेरी बीमारी यारी तेरी यारी चल माना इस बारी
Ihr hört immer noch Radio Mikro Europa auf der Wüstenwelle und mein Name ist Pradnya. Zu Gast bei uns heute im Studio sind die indischen Journalisten Arfa, Sam und Nimish. Und jetzt geht's gleich weiter auf Englisch. These days there is a lot of discussion about press freedom in India, that it is being curtailed a lot and so on, that India ranks really low on the international index in terms of press freedom. I would like to know your views on it. Let's begin with you, Sam.
Okay, I think there are two points that I should mention here. India is a large country. The culture that runs from north to south is different. And I think press freedom is also a cultural opinion. Some people place more importance on it than others. And certain areas, yes, there are problems and we should tackle it. And we've had a lot of time to tackle it. We haven't tackled it, and maybe we should be doing a lot more to do it. So, also the second thing is, media in India is mostly private. Profit is a huge factor. Unlike Germany, where public broadcast plays such a huge role in press freedom, it's lacking in India. So, a government can theoretically, and I suppose they do, intimidate a company into hurting. About intermediate company in terms of profit, and a media company is or could say play down a story or say a problem because they don't want their profits to be it
in India.
In India, so if I think if public broadcast can play a more active role, I think that would help press freedom in India. And if culturally, if we could get more people interested in press freedom, I think that will also help improve our ranking.
So since you brought up public broadcasting, we have Arfa here, who is a senior television moderator and journalist. And what are your views on this, Arfa, in terms of the role of public broadcasting as well?
In fact, I have been arguing this in India for a long time. And this has, like, the lectures which I've attended here and also the structure of public broadcasting, very robust, that I've seen in Germany, that has only improved and sharpened my arguments. Now I'll go back, when I go back to India, I will be more, I think, more strong in my arguments.
What and
I
are can, your arguments?
Yeah, I can give this argument that in a diverse society like India, where there are varied interest. Because in a democracy, if you see what politics is about maintaining and balancing different interests. So in a very diverse society like India, from region to religion to caste to language, I think we need a more responsible media which runs on public money. And this is a perfect model. Germany's public broadcasting system is a perfect model for India, the way they actually charge license fee from people. So we actually worry and debate a lot about press freedom in India. If people really want it, they should also be agreeing to pay for it. So I think now I can say that we have a German example before us that has been perfectly functioning for the last many decades. So why not implement it, try to emulate it in India? In terms of press freedom, I would say that unfortunately it has not been very good. And as Sam rightly pointed out, that there is structural problem when we talk about press freedom, because it doesn't exist in the air. So we have fallen from 136. Now we are at 136 out of 180 as per the Reporters Without Borders, and Germany is 16. So believe me, I would say that a lot of this placement that Germany has got higher up in the Reporters Without Borders list, it has a lot to do with the public broadcasting system.
Thank you. And Nimish, what is your opinion on this?
I would agree with both Arfa and Sam. You know, there definitely are some problems and issues which need to be addressed and need to be addressed soon. You know, there's also, like both of them said, there are structural problems. You know, in India, media is either owned by private organizations, or, you know, it's an advertiser's led model, and profit is a major, you know, like output. I mean, everyone's looking for profits. Also in India, very few people are willing to pay for news, and, you know, it's that again creates a problem. So if you have a thriving system where, you know, people are willing to pay for news, the news organizations do not have to depend on advertisers to make their money, I think that would really help to cut down on the atrocities that are happening against the media. Also, another thing I would like to say is that because India is such a vast country, there's always a lot of healthy debate happening around a lot of issues. So it's there are still a lot of newspapers that are sold in India, and the print industry is thriving in India, which is not the case anywhere else in the world. Nowadays, you also have a lot of websites which are, you know, presenting different points of views, which wasn't the case some time ago. So I believe there are definitely the positive side as well. You know, I mean, you have a lot more platforms to have opposing views. That is something that I find to be a positive aspect of the Indian media landscape.
Thank you. Das kurz für unsere Zuhörer auf Deutsch zusammenzufassen, die indischen Kollegen sind von dem öffentlich-rechtlichen Rundfunk in Deutschland auch sehr begeistert und auch sehr angetan und meinen, dass das Modell auch eigentlich von Indien übernommen werden soll und dass da irgendwie Einflussnahme von der freien Wirtschaft auch irgendwie gemindert werden soll.
Micro Europa.
Micro Europa.
Shundara Anandala रहे जीवन रजनी दिन चिरनूतन धारा बहि जीवन रजनी दिन चिरनूतन धारा करुणा तब अविश्राम जन्मे मरुणे संताप हरणे
Ihr hört Radio Mikro Europa auf der Wüstenwelle und unsere Studiogäste heute sind aus Indien. Das Lied, was wir gerade gehört haben, war aus Bengal und kommt aus der bengalischen musikalischen Tradition von Rabindranath Tagore. Jetzt geht's gleich weiter mit der Diskussion mit den indischen Kollegen. What are your impressions of the German media landscape so far? Are there some specific things that inspire you, fascinate you in that regard? Arfa?
I think the first thing I would say is that it's very important for a democracy to have a free press. And now we can say this with some confidence that Germany does have a free press.
Absolutely.
And it's very representative too. Though it's been my misfortune that I do not understand much of German, but whatever impressions I've been able to collect so far, I think we have been able to get a lot of idea about German society, politics, economics, people, especially the refugee problem through the German press. And the way things are picked up and the way they're reported, even the editorial pages that I could see, some of the translations say a lot about the German society as a whole, that people especially are very invested in their society. So a democracy, when you don't really feel that it is the job of the government to do things, but it actually the people who are equal stakeholders, and that the same spirit is represented by the German media.
And what are your impressions, Nimish?
I think the German media landscape is very robust. You know, you have a variety of print publications, you have magazines, you have a thriving public broadcaster system, which is financed by the tax that is paid by the public, which is very, very fascinating. And also, you have a very, very good radio ecosystem over here, you know, something which only a couple of all India broadcasters are able to do in India. So I think in terms of, and of course, you have the online newsrooms as well. So in terms of, a citizen of Germany has a lot of, touch points to be informed, to keep himself or herself informed about what's happening, what's going on. Also, I like the way in which a lot of the magazines and newspapers go very in-depth on, you know, very niche topics. So, for instance, I know a little bit of German, so I try to read some German. So, from the newspapers that I've seen, you know, they have supplements which can be 8 or 12 pages, which concentrate on a particular topic like science or on travel or culture and something like that. Whereas in India, you have all of it, inside one newspaper.
Crammed up.
Yeah, all crammed up. Yeah, and there are a lot of advertisements. So I like the way a lot of news stories in these supplements are quite long form. You know, so it's very heartening to read those kind of things. And it looks like people in Germany want that kind of content, and they want to keep themselves informed. They want to be aware of what's going on in the world, and you know, that drives this sort of media coverage. And even when you go to any bookstore, you know, the magazine section is full of, it's almost, I could, like on one glance, you can at least see 100, 200 magazines, which are in German. So that seems to be like a thriving landscape for that, you know, covering every aspect of life, I believe.
There's a little thing that I would want to add here, a little piece of advice, if it's not taken otherwise, that while we have a lot of German media here, but then I think it's always nicer to have at least English outlets for people like me. And also, there is a lot of stress on Western world, Germany and European Union. I would want to see some of the Asian windows in German newspapers.
And Sam, what about you?
What struck me was the importance that freelance journalists seem to get in Germany. A lot of the lecturers who came to us were either academics or freelance journalists who do stories independent of an editorial team that's directing them. That I think is very important for free press to speak of. The funding that they get, that it's almost impossible to find in India. And the fact that they can go places, this is not, they can go cover French elections on their own and get funding from a foundation to cover another country's elections, that's mind-blowing in my, because India, we wouldn't even go to Bangladesh or Pakistan to cover an election, we wouldn't get that sort of funding.
Yeah.
If you do it, you might be able to pitch a story, but to get funding and then go somewhere, I think that's incredible.
I absolutely agree with what Arfa has said, but I think... some German publications have started foraying into that area. So Spiegel does an international page, and so does Handelsblatt. So just like a piece of information.
This is where the role of the public broadcasters come in. Like I was sent to Afghanistan and Bangladesh and Pakistan to cover elections from Rajya Sabha television.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think this speaks volumes for what actually a public broadcaster is capable of doing. When the private media just narrowly looking for their profits, the public broadcaster actually can broaden their horizon and think about larger public interest.
I think private television channels in India, or as Sam already mentioned, are also largely influenced by the business interests, vested interests. So it's more of a breaking news culture. So people don't have the time to invest to do a lengthy, analytical, in-depth piece also on television. And it also involves a lot of theatrical elements on Indian television.
Yes.
So coming back for the German audience, the indischen Kollegen sind von der deutschen Medienlandschaft auch sehr angetan im Sinne von den freiberuflichen Journalisten, die dann auch wirklich das schreiben und sagen dürfen, was sie denken und nicht von der Redaktion stark beeinflusst werden oder so. Genau. Und auch von den Medienethik. Das Thema Medienethik spielt in Indien eine wahnsinnig riesige Rolle. Und das ist für die Wahrnehmung der indischen Kollegen in Deutschland anders. Jetzt geht's weiter zur Musik. Ich werde jetzt euch ein Lied auf meiner Muttersprache spielen. Ein Marathi-Lied aus einem neuen Film. Geht's weiter.
मन मल दिराते जाने रेशानी सहज सुखा का भोगी कुणी तळहाता चारे
Hier bei uns bei Radio Mikro Europa geht es heute richtig international zu. Unsere Studiogäste kommen aus Indien und ich spreche Englisch mit ihnen. So, you guys are here in Europe at a very, very interesting time considering the upcoming elections in Germany, the elections that already happened in France and the upcoming Brexit negotiations and so on and so forth. So, what role, according to your perception, is Germany playing in this European context? What is your take on that?
I think post-Brexit, I would say, this was one of the biggest shock that European Union and European value system could have got.
The Brexit.
Brexit, yeah. So after that, I think it was said that Europe actually needs guidance, and the responsibility of France and Germany it is to provide this guidance and preserve the union and also the European Union values such as secularism, democracy and freedom. And the way Germany is working at the moment, it is almost a leading light for Europe, especially in an environment where there is an increasing sense of nationalism in ward-looking countries, though French election results have been sort of a respite. But at the same time, Germany and France have been a steel, this axis has been almost a steel spine for European Union. I think the Europe and the world at large, especially Asia, is looking towards Germany, looking at Germany for providing the leadership for the entire European Union. I understand there is hesitance in Germany to take up this role, but I think the history has decided in such a way that Germany and France will have to. Especially, there is one more very important thing, the way Germany is taking in a large number of refugees. That says a lot about the German values, mm-hmm. which is a shift from what history has had forced German people and German nation to experience. I think it is very important the way the legal system, the constitution of Germany, it allows people to be here, and they are called new Germans. They are not even called refugees or people who are there on somebody's kindness. So I think it's very important, and a lot of lessons that the world needs to learn.
I was about to say that earlier when you said the refugee problem, the Germans don't like
of
to look
course.
At it as a problem.
Yes.
They are refugees who are here and would like to be a part
and
of the society.
And how wonderfully they are integrated. I mean, this is a case study for maybe the entire humanity, for that matter. In Asia, we have a lot of conflict zones, for that matter. This can be a case study that how wonderfully people from different cultures, they enter a country and how well they are integrated into the society.
Systematically.
Very systematically.
Very important. And Sam, what's your take on it?
I suppose Germany provides the traditional European voice,
which is what Americans
would call it, the socialist voice. You know, they're the ones who say, you know, we should look at the environment. Everything's not about money. You know, we should sacrifice a little bit of money to get a lot more people, maybe save the planet, that sort of thing. I think Germany leads European Union in that, and they've got allies, and together I think they will probably form the most important coalition that is necessary for world politics right now. America is inward looking, as Alpha says. So maybe Europe is where the world will look to for global guidance, and a coalition needs to be there. And while we're looking at a coalition, there's Brexit happening. So maybe Germany will become far more important than it has been globally so far.
So you think the socialist values that the German capitalist economy has been having over the past few decades will play an important role?
I definitely
rather
think
than
so.
Being purely capitalist.
Yeah, I definitely think so. This was the feeling I got from one of the lectures, that they're willing to pay a little more for a forward-looking idea rather than pay less right now for a backward-looking idea.
Mm.
That's very important because next 20 years, it's going to pay for itself, right? And
yeah.
that's where the European Union will come into power over the next 20 years or so.
I think I would want to add a little point here, that the way German political parties and politicians are taking great risks, because we cannot deny that there are no anti-refugee sentiments in Germany. There is a political party trying to encash upon those sentiments, but at the same time, the way mainstream political parties are taking a great risk, calling it real politics, I mean, they're not even asking for a cap on the number of refugees. I would say that is setting some kind of an example.
Some of them are asking for it, but anyway, that's a different topic altogether. Yeah. Nimish, what is your opinion?
I think, yeah, like you said, it's interesting time to be in Europe, especially after the US elections and, Brexit. Everyone was looking towards Europe because there is definitely a rising sentiment towards right-wing nationalism. Also, with Germany, even though it's a national election, the dynamics are very different from other national elections, you know, with the whole refugee crisis coming into the picture. And, so it will be very interesting to see what would the final results be. Also, a lot of people I've spoken to, most of them are sympathetic to the refugee cause, but there are some people, you know, who also are sympathetic to the right-wing side of things. And I think as a democracy, there has to be space for both. When you look at EU, you know, Germany is one of the most important states because it's got a very low unemployment rate. It's got the freedom of the press. It's very high on the in terms of economic development and all of those fronts. So, and at the same time, it is also taking in the most number of refugees who are coming in from war-torn countries. So I think all of these aspects really, you know, put the German national elections in a more sort of international setup than it would for other nations, I would believe. And the results in Netherlands and France have been encouraging, yeah. But in Germany, you know, still a lot of people seem to be, I mean, at least the ones that I've spoken to, are not very sure which party mm-hmm. will be mm-hmm. the kingmaker. So
yeah.
It will be very, very interesting to follow the German elections come this September.
There's a little disagreement on what Nimish is saying, though I fully agree with the point that there are political parties to encash upon the anti-refugee sentiments. But having voices which are predominantly and aggressively anti-refugee would also be legitimizing those voices. And in Europe especially, Europe generally and particularly Germany cannot really afford, having seen the past, that neo-nationalism, what it can do to a country, the most ugly face of nationalism that Germany has experienced, especially the wars that the entire Europe has seen in the name of nationalism. I think this has to be discouraged and thought through.
Yeah, it should be thought through, but I mean, I would agree with Arfa on that. But you know, then if you completely stifle those voices, you know, then that also is a problem area. You know, let's be realist. I mean, there are people who are not happy with the influx of refugees, and if those people feel that they do not have any representation, then that can also lead to a lot of problems in the future, not just for the refugees but also for the Germans living inside Germany. So I believe there has to be a balanced view of
and now it's
things.
Entirely up to the political leadership, the way they handle it, these alternate voices. There will be a mainstream voice and there will be people always out there to do negative politics. So I think it's all up to now the political leadership of Germany, and let's see how interesting it's going to be now to see German elections.
Indeed, it should be fun. Das kurz für unsere deutschen Zuhörer zusammenzufassen, die indischen Kollegen sind der Meinung, dass die liberalen Werte der deutschen Gesellschaft, die Aufgeschlossenheit und auch die Werte, die eine sozialkapitalistische Wirtschaft mitbringt, sind eigentlich so die Stützpunkte, auf die die deutsche Demokratie sich jetzt gerade auch irgendwie stützt. Und das wäre auch eigentlich empfehlenswert für die EU, wenn die EU eine Zukunft haben möchte. Dazu noch kommt auch, dass die indischen Kollegen ein sehr hohes Bedenken haben im Sinne der Legitimisierung der rechten Tendenzen in dem öffentlichen Diskurs in den deutschen Medien. und meinen auf jeden Fall, dass die Rechten, Rechtsradikalen auch einen Raum haben dürfen in dem öffentlichen Diskurs, aber nicht allzu viel. So, switching back to English. Thank you guys for being here today. Damit wären wir auch schon wieder am Ende unserer Sendung heute angelangt. Bei mir im Studio waren heute die Internationalisten Arfa, Sam und Nimish. An den Reglern saß Fabian Schaller, Redaktion hatte Ulrich Hegele. Wenn ihr mehr über Radio Mikroeuropa erfahren möchtet, dann schaut doch mal auf unserer Homepage vorbei auf www.mikro-europa.de. Vom Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Pratnia. Bis bald und einen schönen Tag wünsche ich euch noch.